Our scripture this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. It's on page 976 of your pew Bible if you want to follow along. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Jesus, why do you do this to us? He's just unreasonable. And it's so dang frustrating. I mean, we already know that life isn't fair, but we at least think God should be. But God's not fair. And man, that's hard to deal with. I mean, it goes against everything America stands for. Can you imagine if we actually instituted Jesus's way of doing things? What would our country look like? The last shall be first, and the first shall be last? You know those people who want to live by scripture to have a Christian nation? Oh my gosh, if they ever read this passage, I would bet they'd change their tune real quick. Because this is hard to swallow. It's not for Americans to believe that everyone should pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. It's not for the America that wants to do away with the free handout. Nope. Can you just imagine? This would never fly. And if I'm honest, I'm the first to contest it. I can't help it, guys. I'm an ENFJ. Those of you who are Myers-Briggs types, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's the J in me. At least I know someone gets it. It's the J in me. I can't bear this passage. And I'm actually a person who believes in justice. I believe in generosity. I believe in giving everyone a fair shot, a living wage, a chance at dignity. But Jesus, this isn't fair. Honestly, I'm not being hyperbolic for the purpose of proving a point. I struggle with this passage. Just Friday, I was crunching numbers, doing some of our administrative and financial work for our church, and I was counting dollars and counting hours and trying to make everything add up, and I was feeling really frustrated. But at the same time, I knew I had this sermon I needed to finish. Both things were on my mind. One had to do with employment hours and pay, making sure that we'd gotten what we deserved. And the other, of course, is this passage and Jesus' radical words. Eventually, I just stopped and laughed at myself because of the irony of it all. Preacher, practice what you preach. But look, this is a hard passage to preach. I have to admit, it's a hard scripture for me, and it might also be a difficult passage for you. Last week, we talked about Peter's desire to quantify forgiveness. Like Peter, we too want to quantify it. We want to be transactional. You apologize, I'll forgive you. I apologize, you'll forgive me. But for Jesus, it's clear that we can't quantify forgiveness. And even though we Americans like to be transactional, forgiveness isn't about getting something in return for giving, whether we're the ones asking or the ones granting forgiveness. It's one of Jesus' toughest of asks, but it's what we're called to do. Forgiveness, the hardest command, the greatest gift. So this week, we build on this idea of mercy as Jesus tells us this parable of the laborers to illustrate God's generosity and God's incredible mercy, God's kingdom. If last week was hard, this week is even harder. I think it's because, like I said, it's so opposite from the way we think as Americans. It's contrary to our idea of justice. I mean, we think that you work an hour, you get paid an hour. In fact, since the story's about laborers, if we're honest, in our culture, we don't value them very much. We don't really pay a living wage. So when we hear a story like this, it's even more unbelievable because we couldn't fathom it happening in our fields. Can you imagine if this were you and you were the one who went out in the field, started to work early in the morning, and you agreed on a day's wage? You worked all day, but then a couple hours in, some other workers came, and they agreed on a day's wage. And you happened to overhear it, and you realize that those guys are getting paid the same as you. And then you find out that the guy goes back to the U-Haul, and he picks up some more workers about 3 p.m., and as they start, you ask them, "What are you getting paid?" And they report back, "Same as you." By now you're thinking, I should just throw down my tools and get out of Dodge, but you know you need the money, so you keep at it. Just about quitting time, a couple of more folks show up, and lo and behold, they work 1 hour. And at the end of the day, everyone gets paid the same amount. I mean, you'd likely jump those guys, right? You go against your better judgment and question the very person who hired you, despite knowing it's a bad idea to bite the hand that feeds you. But this is an injustice. Now, should you have the gall to push back, would you have been satisfied with the answer, "I paid you what we agreed upon"? I don't think I would. Because even if I got what I agreed to, I would think I deserved more because I did more work. Why should people that did half the work, a third of the work, a tenth of the work get paid the same amount? Even if we'd agreed on a price beforehand, I'd still feel cheated. And I think that the person who worked the half shift would too, because they still worked double the other guy. And those final ones that showed up, man, they just worked an hour. I think everyone would complain, except maybe the last hour guys. Am I the only one here? You guys are like so pious and good. I guess I'd be the only one complaining. Thank you. It just doesn't sit right with us, does it? We got what we deserved. We got what we thought was fair. But suddenly, it doesn't seem fair anymore. And we're outraged. This parable irks me the same way Luke's famous telling of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son does. See, I'm the oldest child, and I feel like I paid my dues. I did well in school. I went to college, to grad school, follow the rules. I work hard. And even though I didn't get into this line of work for money, it does rub me the wrong way when I see others who haven't worked as hard or put in the time and dedication, and they get paid the same or even better. Now, I'm a saver who makes frugal choices about where and how to spend my money. So when I hear the story about this younger son who just gets permission to get a front on his inheritance and a ticket to ride, meanwhile, he runs off to find himself and blows his wad on frivolous living while his big brother does the responsible thing, puts in his time, man, I get so upset. But for some reason, this laborer story rubs on me even worse. I think it's because I assume that if I did more, I deserve more. Because I got there first, somehow I should be rewarded more than the next person. I feel entitled to it, even if I'm not. I think that's the problem that Jesus is trying to point out. It's a problem for many of us Americans, this sense of entitlement. We're kind of stuck on it. And I think it's preventing us to move forward. I heard this piece on NPR yesterday from a woman who interviewed one of the organizers of the Charlottesville protest. Now, he didn't actually call himself a white supremacist, but he did declare that there was a white genocide. There's a war on white people, he believes. So we folks on the left are always talking about white privilege, and yet this man feels like he has no power as a white man. Instead, he feels like he's getting his power taken away from him. So as I listened to the story, I couldn't help but think about our parable. See, white people are used to having privilege, and then suddenly other folks come in, and because they are getting a chance, white folks suddenly feel like they don't have the upper hand anymore. They don't have less, but they don't have more. I've been racking in my brain, befuddled for the last several years, wondering why in the world a white person would take offense to the phrase Black Lives Matter, because it's so clearly not about white people's lives not mattering. And yet the moment we start talking about a black person's life mattering, the white person suddenly feels like their life matters less. But nobody ever said a white life doesn't matter. So why is it that now when we clarify that black lives do matter, white people suddenly feel victimized? Or I think about the Dreamers, who in my opinion clearly deserve to be recognized and made legal citizens. I have a hard time understanding how anybody could be against DACA. If you ask me, it's just the humane thing to do. And I think it's smart, too, because we've already invested in these young people, and they're already giving back, paying their taxes, contributing to society, and doing their share to make America great. So why would anyone be against them? I wondered, is it because they came late to the party? Is it because they took the late shift in the field? And we don't want them to get the same shot we got because we were there first? In many ways, this passage makes me sympathize with folks who feel displaced. But it also challenges me to think about why we feel displaced. It forces me to look at myself and ask myself, why don't I want everyone to experience what I've experienced? Why do I feel entitled? Why am I so angry at Jesus? Would you begrudge my decision to be generous? I hear Jesus asking. You got what you wanted. You got what you agreed upon. Why begrudge someone else? He did it again. He always does, doesn't he? Oh, how he makes us uncomfortable. Oh, how he makes us look at our ugly. How he makes us squirm. Jesus knows we're going to be uncomfortable. We're going to protest. But he wants us to address our discomfort head on. He wants us to look at our privilege. He wants us to wrestle with generosity and mercy. He flips fairness upside down and makes us think twice about justice and what it means to seek God's justice and not just our own. The kingdom of God isn't always the easiest thing. Think about that saying, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Funny how whenever we envision it, we don't see ourselves as the first that are suddenly going to be last. Except so often, in our lives of privilege, we are. Jesus challenges us up every step of the way, not because he wants to punish us or give us less, but because he wants us to be a part of the kingdom of God, to manifest it, not begrudgingly, but joyfully. Jesus is so counter to our culture that we might even find ourselves resenting him for presenting something that seems to affront us. And yet he not only pushes us, but he invites us to be countercultural, just as generous, just as radical. He invites us to push past our privilege and our desire to get more and that resentment that sometimes comes with it, to instead find fulfillment in giving, in ensuring that there's a place for everyone, that nobody gets left out, and that everyone gets an opportunity. This may be very difficult in America today, but if we profess to follow Jesus, we have to think seriously about his words. We have to face our discomfort. We have to dig deeper and do better. I'm the first to admit that this is hard stuff. Jesus doesn't let us off the hook without really wrestling, without taking a good, hard look at who we are and who we want to be. Well, I want to be like Jesus. And if it means I've got to do some self-examination, let's do it. If it means we've got to call out privilege, then get your bullhorns ready. If it means we need to put our money where our mouth is, then okay, let's get real and get to it. If it is the cry of your heart to follow Jesus, then may we heed the prophet's call together to seek out justice, the justice of Jesus. Amen.